This morning I was talking about what salvation really is and trying to give you some means in your mind of differentiating between the error as to application toward Christianity and what is truth. I noticed tonight when I opened my Bible, it went over to, again, to the light. How have you noticed the difference when they turn on these lights up here? You know, this is the way it is. You say that you are a Christian. You say, I believe God, I've got understanding. And you're out in the audience, you're in the room with all the rest of them. And sure enough, you do have some understanding. But when the real understanding comes, when the real light is turned on, then your understanding, you're in the shadows. See, these lights are so bright up here that puts you in the shadows out there. Isn't that right? I said, well, I don't believe that. Well, look down there. There it is right there between me and you. See, so you think that you understand and you think that you know and you're so sure. The whole religious world is like that. They think that they understand. But when the true light comes, when the real light comes, like the writer said concerning Calvary, the true light now shines. The true light. And he said, great light is spring up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. Well, being Calvary, that's kind of hard to get a hold of. Great light has sprung up. Being Calvary, all the cruel mocking and all of this, and here comes light. But see, the putting down of the flesh was the mocking, the crucifying, the casting aside, the man that was despised and rejected. So that it might magnify the spiritual man. He put the fleshly man down so low until it made a great magnifying. As they sing the song there, I magnify thy name, O Lord. So he uses the shadows to magnify the light. Your mistakes and your shortcomings, as I said this morning, it magnifies his greatness. And so then, when we realize what the Lord is doing, it fascinates us. It literally fascinates us. Because I would say to you, I could say to you, you that are in that dimension, wouldn't you like to be up here in the light with me? In this dimension? See, but you're in that dimension. You're creatures of that dimension. Then I'm a creature of this dimension. And so it is with the spiritual light and the spiritual things of God. We are as a creatures for one world as to a dimension and a mind. And then there are creatures as to another dimension and as to a mind. Whereas we look at the shadow here and we see the greater light up here and the lesser light out there. See, as to the moonlight, it is a light. It is a light. It shines under Calvary, as we say. It is a veil light. It is the lesser light. But then when it was unveiled, then the true light shines. In that the Bible said the veil that was over the face of Moses said that was a light. But it was a veiled light. And the Bible said, and that light hath no glory in comparison with this light that hath been revealed as the unveiled light. So see, I look at you out there and you're in the veil light. But I come up here as to this dimension and making comparison. This is the unveiled light. So then, as to a distorted image, as to that you can't fully comprehend, yet in the light you can see real clear. So what I'm saying is this, that we are moving from light to light, from glory to glory, from dimension to dimension. Transformating in our mind, translating in our spirit, and moving on toward a transfiguration of our body or our outer man, our outer image. As it is here, like you sit there in the shadows, and yet it wasn't shadows. Before this great light came, that wasn't a shadow, because that's all the light there was in here. But when the light grew brighter, then you found out that you were in the shadows. This is the way God does. He wants to bring us into a greater light. But if he comes with the full brightness of himself, then we'll dissipate. The image will be destroyed. So he has to bring us from light to light. And then as our eyes adjust to it, we can see. If they just put us in a bright light and turned everything off and it was just completely dark, we couldn't see anything. We'd have to wait till our eyes started dilating. We'd have to wait till our eyes and our nerves begin to adjust to that, like the focusing of a camera, before we could ever see anything in the dark. So God not willing to destroy us, but knowing that he must destroy the creature of evil, or the infiltration with the brightness of his coming, not willing to destroy us as the body of God, into which this infiltration has come, wanting to eradicate, to take it out of the body and spare the body, then he has to come in a dimensional way. He has to come in a like a precipitation. He comes like the dewdrops of the morning as the earth swallows it up. So we see that there is a greater light, and yet not a greater light because it is the same light, but a greater measure of light. And when Jesus appeared on the mountain, all of a sudden the lights come on, and the Bible said his raiment glistened. It literally glistened. It was so beautiful, it glistened. So the light was so exceedingly bright, even as the light that fell around Paul the apostle. The Bible said when that light came, it fell around Paul, that it was so bright that it blinded Paul. Paul became blind. So then God was saying, Paul, you are an intelligent man. You are an individual that has learned at the feet of Gamaliel. You are a very brilliant man. But Paul, you don't have any light at all to what light I have to show you as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't have any light, Paul. You are so little in your light and minute in your light until you are just like a creature of darkness and you're blind and can't even tell where you're going. Just go down to the street called Straight and they'll tell you what to do down there. Of course, that's what we all need to do, is get on the street called Straight. Somebody says years back that we need to move off of Crooked Avenue. So then we read about this light, and God illustrates this light to make us understand what he is trying to do. I want this light. I try to follow this light. I'm always seeking and searching after this light. Every day of my life, I'm looking for a greater measure of this light. Because as the more I move in that light, the more I become one with the light, until I can move into such a place, until I'll be like Enoch. Enoch just kept on moving into the light. 300 years he walked with God. And for 50 years he walked with God. And 75 years he walked with God. And when he was 125 years old, he was still walking with God. And when he was 200 years old, he kept walking with God. And 300 years old, he kept walking with God. And after a while, the light just got so bright, he dissipated. The image left. He translated. He transfigured. He went out of this world. He went into the next world. Because the light, as it brightens up, will completely caused the image just to vanish away. And the light grew so bright in the knowledge of God, and he became so much God that there wasn't any man part left anymore. The man part was completely eradicated and gone. And this is what we're moving toward. We're moving toward this in that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was many, many years later, and a man by the name of Elijah, he decided that he was going to walk in the light and completely cut himself off from the world. And so he did. He walked in the light and he cut himself off from the world, and he kept cutting himself off from the world till finally he didn't relate to the world at all. He just began to live by himself altogether. And he got so acquainted with God and got into the knowledge of God so much that he'd just speak and fire would come down from heaven. Or he could just say anything and it would happen just like that. Because he was becoming more God than he was man. And after a while of continually walking with God, then all of a sudden he became more God than he was man, and away he went to the other side. See, as long as we're on this side, then we can relate to that side, and we can testify on this side of what is coming to us from that side. But when we get so far along that we relate to that side more than we do this side, then we go over to that side because we cannot stay on this side.
See, a man of God that moves into the realms like Moses and like Elijah and some of the others, they become so dangerous to humanity. They become so dangerous that God can't allow them to stay down here. It's like Elisha. Elisha was so powerful with his double potion that he was so dangerous to the public that when little kids begin to say, go up, Baldy, immediately judgment struck them just like that. Without Elisha being able to do anything or God or whatever, immediately a bear came out of the woods or some sheep bears came out of the woods. And the Bible said they tear 42 of them just because they insulted the man of God. So see, you get so dangerous, you keep moving into that light and moving into that light until you get so dangerous to the extent that you can't be around humanity much because they grieve you. You know, even no farther along than I am with the Lord. It's like I was telling the brethren today, I get in the midst of the brethren and I've got some of them here that are very careless. They don't care. They're not trying to go on with God. And I get into their presence and I get so grieved. I just walk into their presence because they are standing there as my brother. But their minds are thinking differently. And they are saying that they are with me and that they agree with me. But instead of that, I hear something altogether coming from their spirit. I can be around my wife, around my children, around my friends, around my neighbors. And this still reacts. It makes it a miserable thing for a woman to live with a man that tries to walk in the spirit. Unless she's going to try to be right in the spirit with him. And it makes it very miserable for him. Solomon said, why make thyself overwise and destroy thyself? Because you're growing in the knowledge of God and in the light of God. And the more that you grow, the more you have to be by yourself, the more you withdraw. Because people, you can't realize what kind of condition that humanity is in until you start walking in the Spirit. See, the Bible said if you walk in the Spirit as He is in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires or the lust of the flesh. See, God is love. Satan is lust. That's the contrast. And man is not born of love. They're born of lust. They're born of the will of man and they're begotten of the will of man. And this was the difference between Jesus, who was the beginning of the new creation of God. Jesus was not born of the will of man. He was not born out of lust. It wasn't out of passions that he came, as is the usual birth. He came as a begotten one of God. God said, my son, this day have I begotten him. Jesus said, I'm not of the dust. I'm not of the world. I didn't come from the flesh. The flesh came from the dust. It's of this world. I didn't come from the flesh. I came from the spirit. I didn't come from the dust. I came from another world. See, and so he was the beginning of the new creatures. And if I'm bone of his bone, and if I'm flesh of his flesh, then I am a new creature in God. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, and I'm a new person altogether. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me, the songwriter said. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. I am in a new dimension. I'm in a new world. I'm in a new life. I meet preachers. And these preachers are supposed to be outstanding men. Outstanding men. I mean supposed to be deliverance preachers and people that's really doing things. And I'm around them just for a few minutes and I turn and walk off and leave them. I was over in New York back up there. And one of the leading men of deliverance, all over the radio, television, supposed to be one of the most outstanding in the world. He's staring people down in South America and over in Hawaii and all kind of places. And I walked up, I was going to get acquainted with him. And I walked up and walked up into the tent where he was and got pretty close to him. And I stood there for a few minutes and all of a sudden if something swept over me, I just turned around, walked off and left him. Because when I checked, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. See, so there is the world of difference. It's hard on the children. It's hard on the wife. It's better than a man that is born of God, that's to walk with God, that's really going on with God. It's better that he never has a family. It's better that he never marries. But he doesn't know that. He's just a natural man. He desires his wife and his family, and he wants something in the world. Oh, somebody said, well, you couldn't be a great man of God and have a wife. Well, I think you can. Abraham was the father of the faithful, and he had a wife, so I guess you could have a wife and still be a pretty important fellow. It's called the friend of God. But nevertheless, marrying a wife, that doesn't take away from you. But I'm speaking not of a sin. I'm not of something that blots you in God because you have a wife. But I'm speaking of the pressures that the family is under and the pressures that the wife is under. Like, for instance, Betty and I, as long as we were out on the field, continually going on the field, there was hardly a cross between us in the sense of us being together. We'd have to go out somewhere. We'd go out somewhere to preach, or go over here or get somewhere, and then the crosses would begin to rise. See, in the same way here, a lot of times we have a cross here. Because as long as we are in the environment of human beings and we're trying to walk in the Spirit, it is a constant cross. It is a problem. So I don't mean to be ugly with the brethren. It's like Jesus, when he walked in the midst of the brethren, he didn't wait for them to do something wrong. He would have been, somebody said, well, my, Jesus is picky. You know, they call it that in the world. Why, every little thing, we ain't done nothing. And look at him picking at us, you know. But it wasn't that way. He just walked in the midst of them and he said, why is it that those thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you reason in your mind and heart like that? Over there healing a man, while he was healing this man, he said, why do you reason in your heart? You know, why you're thinking like that? I said such and such to this man, I'll show you something greater, he said. So then you say, why do you let thoughts arise in your heart, like Brother Branham said, speaking so loud in heaven, more than your words on earth? Why do you let these thoughts arise in your heart? Because Jesus lived in the Spirit and he perceived man's thought. And as far as bodily relation, as to things happening or them doing wrong, why, he never did get to that condition. Because he looked at the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And he watched the reasoning of the heart. And he would say, why do you think like that? Don't you know that out of your heart comes evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and blasphemy and all these ugly things? That out of your heart comes these thoughts, and these defile a man, and God will have to destroy the man that allows these kind of things. So he said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? So when you get like that, you get to where you are what the world calls picky. Just like Peter. Peter says, nay, Lord, be it far from thee. You know, just like I would go to Brother Taylor, or he would come to me and I'd say, no, ain't nobody going to hurt you, Brother Taylor, because I love you. And here, Peter says that, hasn't done anything wrong, not anything so far as the natural. But Jesus looked beyond that and perceived those thoughts, that mind of Lucifer, that had stimulated those words from Peter, as to make him melancholy or to shy away from the cross or to be evasive as to what he had come to do. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of the flesh, not the things that be of God. Don't you imagine that cut Peter to his heart? Somebody says, cruel, cruel. Brother Pike's cruel. They're cruel. That's not what it is at all. What it is the dirt showing up. The dirt showing up. Like somebody was telling me today about a little illustration somebody gave. A woman accused the preacher. You know, because the preacher was preaching and bringing out her faults. So she blamed the preacher. And she took a reservation of heart as to her virtues and righteousness. But it was said that the preacher told her, said, it's not that way at all. It's not that way at all. He said, if you take a flashlight and you go up into the attic and you see the dirt, you don't blame the flashlight for it. The dirt was there. He just revealed it. And he said, lady, what I'm saying, it just made it show up, that's all. So that's the way it is, see. This light right here didn't intend any wrong, but it's made to be that bright. It can't help shining that bright no more than those out there can shine with a less brightness. See, because it's a greater power, it's connected to a greater power, it's got a greater flow. And to look right into it, it's a glare. See, so I said that to say this. I want to go on with God. I want to walk with God. But then if I walk with God and you're going to walk with me, if my wife is going to walk with me, then that means that she's got to move on with me. She can't just sit down over here and eat and drink and love the things of the world and be satisfied with her four no more, as we say, or be satisfied with her job and her position and whatever. She can't do that, because if I'm going to go on with God and she's going to be part of me, she's got to go on with me. We're married, and as a fleshly being, we are one flesh. See, with God, I'm married unto him. He said, woe unto the backslider, for I'm married unto you. And then he says, you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. As is the enlightenment in the heart, as to the royal blood flowing through the veins of that flesh and bone, so am I. And this light illuminates me as it did Moses. It illuminated the face of Moses, and he had to put a veil over his face. And it illuminated the face of the first martyr. It illuminated his face in such a way that the Bible says that they beheld it as that of an angel. It illuminated Moses in such a way that they said, we can't look upon it. So there was a veil that was placed between Moses and the people. And that veil represented the body of Jesus Christ. That is between God, the great light, and the people. And so it was with the first martyr, Stephen's. He was such a great man of God, until the Bible said they beheld his face as that of an angel. So then, as the light comes to brighten up the image, so it is that more and more we know the bright of the light. For the Bible said, wisdom maketh the face to shine. It's breaking forth from the inner man into the blood genetics. And this measure, our potion of God on the inside, the spiritual potion. As I read to you this morning, the prophet said, not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. The church world, and I'm going to read a little scripture in a few minutes, but the church world has gotten into a condition of ritualistics. See, to them, Christianity is going to church and building a church and paying tithes and getting together. And, you know, they go out to eat and they meet each other and they in the marketplaces with salutations and whatever. And to them, this is Christianity. And they say, we're different from everybody else. So was the Jews. But in all reality, when Christ came and the real light began to show, that is the light of Calvary, and the veil began to be moved back, they realized that rather than being a separated people as to a great people of God, that they were part of the veil. And that at Calvary, when God started moving the veil back, he had to completely move the Jewish people, and they went away into darkness. And they were cast into the outer darkness. And today they still beat and weep and wail at the Wailing Wall. They're still there. Still the killing and the destroying. And the gnashing of the teeth. As even into the natural. As the Bible speaks of it. And he said unto them, he said, they'll come from the east and they'll come from the west. And they'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the Jews were the children of the kingdom of David, of the kingdom of Canaan. And said, these people, even the Gentiles, will sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, even as it happened to the Jews, being the veil when the great light come. The light was so much greater that they were just darkness. All of their ritualistics and religious understanding was no more than darkness. So then they were cast into the outer darkness. He said, there will be weeping and wailing, and there will be gnashing of teeth. And they cried, let his blood be upon us. And so then it signified the burning of the fire of the wrath of his indignation, in that God is a consuming fire, and he uses blood to symbolize that. So then they were cast into the outer darkness, and in being cast into the outer darkness, even through the Holocaust and the different places, there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So I'm just saying that to say this, that we're moving on into the light. We're moving on into the light. If you want to go, you can go. But you have to move on as the light moves. You have to move on into the light. I'd love to comment a little bit on this if you'll give me a few minutes tonight. In chapter 8, it tells us right here in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. See, there was no light until he came. I am the light of the world. Now, here is Calvary, he was saying, the veil that has been over Moses' face, here it is. You're looking straight at the veil. But this light that's on the inside is the light of the world. And I'm going to the top of the mount of Calvary, and I'm fixing to unveil this light. And this light is going to shine throughout the world. I'm going to unveil this light. For the Bible said these things was given us in God before the world ever was. And then it tells us that when we come to Calvary, they are made known to us, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary. That is, it was unveiled, and in a sevenfold unveiling as to a breakdown, God broke the light down in a seven-dimensional breakdown that we as generation to generation might receive it, expound it one to another, and compile it, bringing it back to the full ultimatum of God as to a sevenfold light in the end time that would completely eradicate the infiltration of the intellectual knowledge of death, which is referred to as darkness, to do away with that and completely change our blood genetics into the wonderful flesh of his flesh and the bone of his bone. So we see this great thing. It's called a heavenly treasure. It's within our earthen vessel. And Paul, receiving this knowledge, having been so great and mighty in the knowledge as to religious activities as well as worldly things, he says that this is the wonderful treasure of God. And he said, now is made known unto the church the manifold light of God, or the manifold, that is the compound wisdom of God, now is made known unto the church. So Jesus said, here I am, here I am. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is, my words are spirit. They are life. They are understanding. If you follow me, you'll not walk in the darkness of your own intellectual reasoning and leaning to your own understanding that is a derivative from the first man, Adam, that brings death. You won't walk in that. But you'll be in the light with me, he said. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Because they knew that the Bible taught that if any man come bearing witness of himself, his witness was not true. So they said, you bear witness of yourself. Jesus said, no, that's not right. See, it's not me doing the work. It's not me saying these words. I'm dead. I'm surrendered. I give my all. My body's gone. It's not me living so far as the natural, as Paul said. So Jesus said, this is the light that's shining. This is God that's talking to you. All shall be taught of God. Said, don't you remember? In the old writings of the prophets, it is prophesied and they shall all be taught of God. Now here I am, I'm teaching you. I'm tutoring you, Jesus could have said. See, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. See, he told them over there these things, and then when they began to pounce on him, he said, my Father and I are one. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. See, he said here, he's saying to them, I bear witness of myself. My Father bears witness of me. He said, that's two in your laws, two witnesses make it so. And he said, my Father is with me. And they said, where is your Father? We don't know your Father. We can't see your Father. Why, we know your Father, that he is Joseph, the carpenter. You know, but Jesus said, no. He said, who is my mother? Who is my mother? These that do the will of my Father. Then who is my Father? He said, not an earthly man, because I was not begotten by the will and desire of human flesh. I never came here like that. So a man couldn't be my Father. If a man was the Father of the Lord Jesus, then all is lost. If he came through the same channel that all of the rest of the people came through, then all of the world is lost, because the blood of Adam was contaminated. And every individual that's born into the world is born to the Father, or the bloodstream of the Father. That is natural. So then he could not possibly have come by the will of men. He could not come out of the act of passions. He had to come by God Almighty, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she received a divine conception, in that this holy thing was formed within her womb. So then came Jesus as the great, wonderful Son of God. And God said, this day have I begotten myself a son. And when Jesus came forth, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the Prince of Life. And I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, a field up and overflowing. But he said, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And he said, this light is shining, and it's shining in darkness. And this great light has spring up to them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. How? Why did he say in the regions of the shadow of death? Great light has spring up unto them. He was saying that from this comes the shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through this world and I'm under the shadow of the law. The shadow of the law is a shadow of death. It is a type and a shadow of those things that are to come. And I'm walking under the shadow of death. But though I walk under the shadow of death, of the law of sin and death, yet I shall fear no evil, David said, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. He said, goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. You're going to make my enemies to be at peace with me, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So then, here comes Calvary. We look again. I see this out here. I point it out to you again. Here is a shadow. This shadow is between me and you. You're looking at it. You that are sitting here, you're looking at it. You can see it very plainly there. So that means there's a breach between you and I. There is a natural breach between you and me. See, and it means that you are out there in those realms. For me to look at you, I have to look into the darkness. See, but you don't look into the darkness. For you to look at me, you don't have to look into the darkness. You look into the light. And the more that you look at me, the more that your eyes absorb the light. But the more I look at you, the more that I see the darkness. Because with the brightness of this light, my eyes adjust to it. And that puts you more out of focus. See, and you're more, you're dimmer and dimmer as I look at you. You're more vague looking out there. So then that means that there is a greater place in God where we can move into this place. And Paul expresses it, having the revelation, he expresses it like this, that we are coming to a day when we shall see face to face, he said. Not through a glass darkly. I'm not looking through a glass darkly, he said. But I am beyond the veil. I am caught up, he said, into the third heaven. And I'm beyond the veil. And I see these things, and I see them very clearly. I'm not looking through the intellectual mind of that which came from Adam as to a shadow of death or of commandments that has come from God as to the keeping of carnal ordinances. I'm not beholding God as through some ritualistic or some practices or formality. I am in the light of God. I see God. My eyes of understanding has been enlightened. And I comprehend the height, and I comprehend the depth, and I comprehend the width, and I comprehend the length of this great wonderful thing, because the Spirit of revelation is living on the inside of me. And he said, you must do the same thing. You must have the Spirit. And you must comprehend, because I'm moving from glory to glory. I am now at Calvary. I've come out from under the shadow of death. I am no more under the law. The Bible teaches they that have fallen from grace are under the law. But I am not fallen from grace. I am not under the law. I am in the grace of God. I am in the light of God. And I am the light of the world, Jesus said. For when Jesus went away, he pointed to the church. And he said, I'm the light of the world, but I go away. He said, now that I go away, ye are the light of the world. So then, we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because there's one thing for sure, that if I have the light of God, if you have the light of God, if we're the true church, then we're going to have some works that's going to be so fascinating that all of the world will be drawn to it. For the Bible said, and I will make all of the Gentiles come to your light. All of those that of the isles of the sea shall come to your light. That is, into all the world with the gospel to every creature. And all of the world will come to your light. And I will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. Ask of me, he said, and I will give you the heathens for an inheritance. If you'll ask of me, I'll give you the Japanese. I'll give you the Germans. I'll give you the Gentile world. And I'll make them to come to your light. All of these will come to your light. And then as I preached you one night, the Bible said, put on your garments, your beautiful garments, O Zion, for thy light has arisen. Put on your beautiful garments, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire of the flesh. But put on your garments, Joshua. As I said this morning, Joshua, take away those garments. He said to the angel, move those dirty garments. I don't want Brother Pike in my presence and Brother Taylor in my presence and these brethren of Bethlehem in my presence and those brethren that are the Jews in my presence. I don't want these perverted images in my presence of Old Robertson and of Jimmy Swaggart and of George Pike and of everybody else that lives in the world or ever lived in the world. I don't want them in my presence. I want the dirty garment to be taken off. I want them to go to Calvary. I want to pour out my wrath upon every one of them. All of them have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. Everybody seeks his own thing. And he's gone after his own way of life. The Pentecostals and the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics and the Charismatics. All of them, he says, has gone after their own thing. But take away the dirty garments. Put it into the water. Bear it beneath the name of Jesus and magnify the name of Jesus and let me see the one that I love and the one that I'm related to and the one that I care for. Raise up the name of Jesus, and when I see the blood, then I'll pass over you. So then he says, magnify my son in your life. Lift up holy hands. Let your conversation be in heaven. Forsake the things of the world. Put aside the flesh, he said. Put off the dirty garments. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So then when we were baptized into Christ, into the Spirit, then it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And so then no one survived the crisis except Noah and his family. Jesus and his family, his bone of his bone, his children, his bride. So then we are one with him. We are in the light, for the Bible says that He alone dwells in the light, for He is the light of that city. He alone dwells in the light, and no man is in that light except Christ, and no man can approach that light except Christ. So then if I'm to be in that light, I must be part of Christ. If I'm not part of Christ, I cannot be in that light, because He alone dwells in the light. So then we are the light of the world. Jesus said, now you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And now the veil is rent. It was brought to light at Calvary. All these great things that was done in the days of Moses and done for the prophets and the great men of God back there, all of that was done within the veil of intellectual formalities. He said, but not anymore. He said, the very mind of God is here. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Why should I stick my nose, as someone would say, in a book? Why should I be a bookworm? Why should I try to learn everything there is about, you know, the things of the world as to scientific definition? Paul said, science, falsely so called, that's always changing their minds and getting new theory. Why should I do that when I have God's knowledge, the light of the world, in that I know all things? The Bible said I have an unction from God that I should know all things. I don't have to get into a bunch of books to find out what's going on. I don't have to go to college. I don't have to go to school. Sometimes going to school and going to college makes you some of the dumbest people when it comes to understanding the things of God, because you have such strong personality as to what you think and what you believe, that God cannot in His dove-like approach penetrate that wall of darkness, and you find yourself exiled to a world of darkness. That's why He took what they called ignorant fishermen. They said, now we know that these are ignorant fishermen, but nevertheless their ignorance magnified God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe that ignorance magnifies God? No, not in that way. I believe because men are ignorant, God is magnified the greater. Because the greater the darkness is, the brighter the light shines. See, when the light comes, the darkness shows it up even the greater. So then the whole world is in darkness. And the Bible said all of the world is in sin and corruption. But we are not in sin and corruption. We are the light of the world. We are holy. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, but I know you stumble. I've seen you, Brother Pike. I know that you've done this and your wife has done that and your family's done this. You know, and I've seen you stumble and stagger just like anybody else. What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with the light? I said my stumblings and staggerings only makes my light shine the more, that men may see my light, because my shortcomings magnifies the God that I speak of even the more, because I say He is perfect and I have faults. So then the greater He is, not because I do those things willfully, because if I do those things willfully, I don't have a light. If I do those things willfully, that's the proof that the light is not in my life, or I wouldn't do those things. But in that I have a light, and in that I'm trying to do what's right, should I stumble, should I stagger because of these things, of the problems of the flesh or whatever, then my light radiates the greater. I say this so often, if two men was walking down the road and one was a fool and one was a wise man, everything that the fool said would magnify the wise man the more. And everything that the wise man said would prove that man to be the fool the more. Because one would reveal the other. Light reveals darkness. Sweet reveals bitter. Bitter reveals sweet. The contrast of one brings another. God, the great invisible light. God, the great invisible, we say His attributes. The invisible potentialities of all things that pertain unto life. God, the great reservoir of heavenly attributes and living attributes, and every little thing must be revealed by a contrast of that which is not. So then, he takes and reveals Himself. He is love. So He says, how can I reveal love? How then can I reveal love? All I got to do is bring forth hatred. I can bring forth hatred. So then we, being on a lesser level than God, He has to bring forth both a love and a hatred to indoctrinate us intellectually with both of them before we can even get to the rim where He's at to understand what love is. So when we do that, we find out that love that we thought was love was real. It was actually selfishness even at the very best. So then there is lust and there is love. And men are born of lust and of passion. But Jesus was born of love. He was born of the will of God. He was born of the very spirit of love. But people who are born into this world are born of lust. Someone would say, I don't believe that. Well, why is it? The Bible says, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? Your spirit lusted after the flesh. Your spirit lusted after all of these things. Your spirit lusted after passions, and out of that comes birth, and out of that comes a perverted image. And God said, I'll despise that image with the brightness of the morning as to the revelation of my coming. I will despise that image. So then I must move with God. I must be born again. I must come into a new image. I must take the outlook that Peter took when Peter said, though this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Speaking of the body of Christ, I borne the image of the earthly as to the earthly Adam, as of the dust. But from the dust that came to the dust thou shalt return. He said, but I'm going to bear the image of the heavenly. I'm going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be changed at this last trump. I'm going to be changed at the word of God. For the word of God is going to come forth with a shout. The word of God is going to come forth like a trump. And the word of God is going to reveal, break loose, break open, going to reveal and rend the veil. And so it was at Calvary, it happened. And the prophet said, and the stone, the capstone, the head of the corner, the stone shall come crying, pardon me, grace, grace, grace. Here we are preaching grace, grace, grace. So that means that we have stepped out of the shadows. We have stepped out of the shadows, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. He is found within the shadows because God, the great light, veiled himself in darkness as to intellectual reasoning of human form and a human being, and came in the likeness of the sinful image, and he stands in the shadows. His hands was bruised while he was in the shadows. His feet was bruised while he was in the shadows because that was off limit to him. That was off limit, and yet it was on the limits, or it was for him, in that he made himself part of this world for my sake. But as to his way of life, that's off limits. God can't fellowship sin. Light can't fellowship darkness. So then we see what a great, wonderful thing God has done. Moving in the light, walking in the light, going on with God in this wonderful, great light that God has shared with me and you. That's why I'm so enthused every day, all day long. Though I might chide with you a little bit, I might disagree with you about something. I may have to go up stout in the cold. I may have to dig a ditch. I might be muddy. I might not look too good. You know, I might not appear to be what my wife would like to see when I get off of my knees in the morning. But the thing is, though the outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day because I've found that light. I've seen that light. I'm following that light. I'm moving on into that light because that's all that matters to me. Nothing else matters to me. The only thing that matters to me is to move into that light and become greater and greater in the light of God as the oneness of Christ. That's all that I care for. So then when you chide with me, you run against the light. And when you think contrary, the light shows it up. Like the man said about the flashlight, it shows up the dirt. You've got it hid in the corner. A lot of people are evasive. They won't come around me. They won't come around the minister. They won't come around true children of God because they know that the light that is in that life will show up the dirt that is in their life. And they won't get near it. So, I want to walk in the light as he is in the light. I want to have fellowship with God. And I say again, this light is an understanding. The eyes, your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. This light is an understanding. If you don't understand, then you don't have the light. This is why I disagree with people who say, well, you just got to believe it. You know, you don't have to understand it. I don't see that. You can't do that. Because the Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. You've got to have understanding. You can't believe nothing you don't understand. How in the world can you believe in anything that you don't understand? You can't do that. Jesus said, and the wicked shall not understand. The wicked shall not understand. He said the children of light shall understand. So then we are children of light. We understand. We're moving on. No need to say that you don't understand unless you are a child of darkness. If you are a child of darkness, then you don't understand. But how can you say that you don't understand when you've come into the light? How can you lie against the truth? So then, wisdom is justified of her children, or her children will hold up the standards of truth. So I walk in the light because he is in the light. I have fellowship with my brother. I have problems sometimes because I see the shortcomings of my brother. The more I am in the light, the more I see the shortcomings of my brother. And my brother doesn't want to acknowledge that. He doesn't want to acknowledge that. See, a lot of times he can't acknowledge it because he's never come to the acknowledgement of it. He's never seen it. The light has never revealed it to him. He doesn't know he's in that kind of condition. I say to somebody, I say, hey, you got cancer. Oh, no, they say. I say, yes, but I know that you've got cancer. How do you know? I'm a physician. No, I feel fine. I'm playing ball. I'm running, jumping. I got plenty of strength. I say, I know, but you still got cancer. The germ of cancer is going to kill you. I'll give you 6 months. Oh, no, I feel I can swim. I can jump. I can run. I can holler. I can eat. I'm strong like an ox. See, but if a man is one that knows, if he's genuinely one that knows within 6 months, there will be a world of difference. Like our brother Lundebo was telling me, he said when he was out there visiting with his dad, said his dad was going strong, everything was just fine. And almost overnight, like that, he lost his strength and was going down. And they had to operate and found out a number of valves was closing up here. See, which would have cut off the oxygen from the heart, and then it would have been sure death. You don't know what's inside of you. You don't understand. See, but the man that's in the light can see. The man that's in the light, I'm speaking spiritually, the man that's in the light can see. He knows. He can see. He understands. Just like a doctor has a medical mind, he has gone through so many things concerning medicines and germs and concoctions until he's got a mind like a mechanic. A mechanic has gone through so many things. He walk up to a motor and hears something going just tick, tick, tick like that. He said, you got a rod knocking. Oh, that's a valve stem. Or this is wrong. And now he doesn't have to look into it. He knows that. See, and the man of God, Jesus said, why does these thoughts arise within your heart? You shouldn't do that, he said. Because he knew what was within a man. The Bible said he had no need that anybody tell him what was in a man's heart because he already knew. So then as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we're going to get greater and greater in discernment, and more you're going to be able to discern the darkness. Someone would say, how do you discern darkness? By light. This darkness out here, can you discern that there's darkness there? I pointed out to you, you little looking, can you discern that? By those 22 conductive nerves from your eye to the brain, you discern that. See, the images are there, so you discern that darkness. Somebody says, hey, that light is greater over there than this. This is dark along here. And yet if I cut these bright lights off, that will be light. Your eyes will readjust to that. But see, you can discern that darkness by this light. The greater you are in light, the more that you come into the knowledge and understanding of God, the more that you can discern, the more that you know. And people will deny it. People will deny it. This is what makes it hard on the family. This is what makes it hard on the people, because they will deny it. Some of them does not understand. Some of them does not know. Some of them are children. They don't even know what you're talking about, even talking about discernment. But see, there are some that's moving on into the light. Maybe their measure of light is not the quality of someone else's light. Maybe my measure of light is not the quality of your light. But there's one thing about it. There are some that's moving on into the light. So Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you'll follow me, he said, you won't walk in darkness. That is, if you'll meditate in my laws day and night, you'll move into a heavenly realm. You won't dwell in the earth. You will be they that dwell in heaven. If you will follow me. But you have to believe what I'm telling you. I want you to stand together. There's a whole lot that we could say tonight. We could go on and go on and go on. But I'd like for you to stand with me. And I'd like to sing a course or two. Give you a chance to repent, to pray, to ask God to refurbish. Don't you just love the light? I saw the light.
I saw the light shining upon me from heaven so bright. No more darkness and no more night. Cause glory to God, I saw the light. My little one was singing, "Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in." All right, let's sing a chorus together, can we? I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness and no more night. No darkness in sight, cause glory to God. I saw the light, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, there ain't no more night. No darkness inside, glory to God. Can you sing it again? I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Darkness inside, praise the Lord. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness and no more night. I am so happy, no darkness inside. Praise the Lord. Can you sing it again? Oh, we saw the light. We saw the light. There ain't no more darkness. There ain't no more night. I am so happy cause my Savior's in sight. Glory to God. I saw the light. Sing it again. Oh, we see the light. We see the light. There ain't no more darkness and there ain't no more night. I am so happy. Heaven's in sight. Glory to God. Sing it again. For we see the light. We see the light. There ain't no more darkness. There ain't no more night. I am so happy. Savior's in sight. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it again. I saw the light. I saw the light. There ain't no more darkness. There ain't no more night. So happy. Heaven is in sight. Oh, hallelujah. I saw the light. One more time. Oh, we see the light. We see the light. There ain't no more darkness and there ain't no more night. I am so happy cause heaven's in sight. Oh, hallelujah. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, we see that light. We see that light. There ain't no more darkness and there ain't no more night. I am so happy cause heaven's in sight. Oh, hallelujah. Can you sing it again? Oh, we see the light. We're in the light. There ain't no more darkness.